Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Happy Monday to you all. President's Day. President's Day. Cody Mack, let's go out and make some presidents. Let's create some magic today. Let's earn some money.
Make some presidents?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Money.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
The presidents are on the bills.
Yeah.
Hey, who's your favorite president?
Who's my favorite president?
All-time favorite president.
We talked about this Saturday, actually.
We did?
Well, not we, as in me and you. I was going to say we. We didn't even talk on Saturday.
No,
we, as in Russell and on voluntary reaction after the game. Uh-huh. We weren't talking about our favorite presidents. We were talking about presidents that would win in a fight.
If you just pitted them, like if you just had a tournament of presidents and fought to the death, or not necessarily to the death, but just, you know, fights. Because if it were to the death, we could basically narrow it down to, what, four as it is.
Who would be your four?
The four that are still living.
Oh.
I mean, you got Trump, you got HW. I don't know how HW is still alive.
I'd say he'd be last.
You got W, and then you got Obama. Well, Clinton, okay, that's five. Jimmy Carter's still alive too, isn't he?
Yeah, your whole argument's collapsing around itself.
I meant four to six, whatever.
Your whole argument's collapsing on itself.
You know what I meant.
I don't have a favorite president. I have to think about it.
It's a tough question.
Do you have a favorite president?
All time? I don't know. I was thinking if I had to pick, I might go with FDR. You know? He led us
what
through.
What a cop-out answer.
He led us through World War II. Well, this weekend.
He led us. It's kind of a cop-out. The whole led us through the war. Because he, all of a sudden, he put down, like, hey, keep me here.
Well.
His time was up.
I think he's fresh on my mind. Here's the thing.
His time was up. We had to go back and amend the Constitution because of him.
This weekend.
He wanted to stay around for too long.
I watched The Darkest Hour this weekend.
Uh-huh.
About Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
So I think FDR is just fresh on my mind because he was in the movie, you know, naturally, World War II. It's a good movie, by the way. If you like Winston Churchill.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
Maybe Lincoln. Lincoln's the all-time.
I never watched that movie either.
No, I'm just talking presidents.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I never watched that movie either. I mean, I'm familiar with what both men did.
Yeah. They were both U.S. presidents.
I just haven't watched the movies. I need to go do some presidential research. Read some books. Is there like a dark horse of favorite presidents for people? Because I feel like if you ask somebody their favorite president, you're going to get like one of three or four answers.
Lincoln, Washington.
FDR,
Reagan.
Do people throw Reagan in there?
Oh, yeah. People throw Reagan in.
Reagan and JFK are usually the...
Tear down that wall, Mr. I don't know. Not very good at U.S. history.
I didn't know Reagan was up there. I've always just heard, like, not negative things about Reagan, lukewarm things at best.
People love Reagan.
The whole drug thing.
Now, conservatives love Reagan.
Okay.
He's the greatest all time for them.
Okay. That's, I guess, me being uninformed. I'll research Reagan. I didn't know that he belonged on that top list, that top tier.
Yeah, people love Reagan.
Okay. So happy President's Day to you guys. Use it as a day of reflection, said Trump. What are we supposed to be reflecting on? Is what I, when I saw that tweet, I was like, what are we reflecting on?
Oh, is that what he said today?
Yeah, he's like, have a good President's Day. Use it as a day of reflection.
There's no telling.
I don't understand what that is.
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's get to the show. What was your biggest story of the weekend?
Daytona 500. I watched it yesterday. The only NASCAR race I'll watch all year, so it was good.
Really? Probably. You watch the whole thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, other than like a nap about halfway through, but that's just NASCAR, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was an exciting finish. They had to go to overtime. NASCAR has an overtime now.
They had to go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
What was the overtime?
Oh, yeah, it's
and
just
why
where,
would they go into overtime?
If there's a wreck late in the race, basically they run it, you know, there's where there's two laps to go. And then if they have another wreck before the final lap, then they have to do another overtime. They only did one overtime. But it was kind of cool because Austin Dillon, years to the day, basically, that Dale Earnhardt had won his only Daytona 500 there. And so, you know, he did basically a tribute to him. He spun out through the grass in the infield. It was nice, you know,
dabbed.
Kind of a nostalgic type deal.
Dabbed.
Yeah.
I missed where Earnhardt dabbed.
Yeah, that's a little different. But
I missed that one.
And he also wrecked someone to win the race. So, nice Dale Earnhardt tribute yesterday, getting the three car back in victory lane.
Yeah, it is cool. And then Bubba Wallace, I saw where he got second.
He did. He's
was he the breakout star? Because I get pretty much all the stories I've seen have been about him. I've seen more stories about Bubba Wallace than I have Austin Dillon.
Yeah, he kind of has
crying with
on,
his mother. Yeah, after the race, yeah.
He has kind of burst onto the scene. I think is, you know, NASCAR is looking for its new popular driver, and I could see him being that guy in a couple years. You know, now that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is gone, they need a new popular driver.
Both guys are Richard Petty, right? Both guys are on the Richard Petty team.
Who's
Dillon and Bubba Wallace? Is that right? Did I read that correctly?
Dillon is RCR.
Okay,
so he's Richard Childress.
Okay, and then, I guess I read that wrong.
But yeah, Bubba Wallace drives for Petty. He's a Tennessee fan too, right?
Yeah, I know, and I'm having to rethink my stance because last week I told you that. His time with Butch Jones here made me kind of root against him or made me not want to like him. But maybe I have to rethink that stance. Maybe that's short-sighted. Right? Maybe it's time to let bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
To get over it.
I mean, a lot of us supported Butch Jones for a little while, you know. Hoping he was the answer.
That's true. I've given you a pass. That's true.
There was a time when I hoped.
I mean, there was a time like in August or September where you're talking about how we couldn't do better than Butch Jones.
That was never what I said, actually.
That was close. I remember.
I said, you got to make sure you can do better before you fire him. We'll see.
It was something like that.
Well, we'll see. If
the truth is somewhere in the middle of both of what we're saying.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Tennessee went with what, their 20th choice? I mean, I'm not saying, like, look, I mean, maybe.
Wow. All right. You heard it here first from Cody McClure. Butch Jones better than Jeremy Pruitt.
That's not at all
what
I said.
That's kind of what it sounds like. You heard it here first from Cody McClure.
Not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying, let's let this play out. Let's see how Jeremy Pruitt. I think Jeremy Pruitt's probably a better football coach than Butch Jones, but got to let it play out. Anyway, so I know that's not your biggest story.
No, I mean, that's the big story that mattered. I mean, here locally, Tennessee, Georgia, of course, we'll get to that. The SEC race, really not going anywhere. None of the top teams won over the weekend. Everybody lost.
Georgia, I forgot about that.
Georgia beat Tennessee, but everyone lost.
I tried to erase that from the memory bank.
Rick Barnes calls out Grant Williams. I do think that's the interesting takeaway from that game. We will get to that. The NBA All-Star game was fun. I mean, it was better. It was more competitive. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can call that the big story. More so maybe Adam Silver's comments after the game. Adam Silver's comments of the weekend.
Fergie.
Oh, Fergie. Let's get it started. No, let's not. Let's end it.
I wonder what was worse, her national anthem performance or Tennessee's game against Georgia.
No, well, that's fair. I would throw, like, the whole thing was weird. The Kevin Hart introduction's not much better than Fergie's national anthem. I tweeted out that, like, Kevin Hart is off the hook because of how terrible Fergie was. Were you watching when that happened or no?
Not live. No.
So you saw Fergie's anthem, but you didn't see Kevin Hart's introduction, right?
No.
It was like 25 minutes of he'd introduce a player and then he'd throw in a joke before they come out, and all the jokes were so bad. The jokes were bad. Like, I don't think one of them landed. And like the players would all kind of give him a laugh.
A courtesy laugh.
But you could tell some of them are like, "The hell are you talking about, Kevin?" And like probably upset about it.
I've never thought he was all that
funny. I think he's funny in the right setting, but it's been a bad month for him between getting shut out of the Philadelphia Eagles celebration at the Super Bowl. Remember, he tried to get up on the platform with them and got rejected by the security guards.
Yeah.
To this weekend, not good for Kevin Hart. But Fergie was obviously the big loser of the day. I appreciated somebody going. How do you feel about it?
It was hard
someone
to watch.
Going with the anthem in a different route. Are you okay with that, or should you just sing the anthem powerfully and then get done with it?
I'm okay with changing it up a little bit. Like, I understand that part of it, but it was just awful. I mean, it made me cringe to watch it just for her. Like, does she not know? And you know, there were moments where it was okay, but for the most part, it was just, I mean, you saw Draymond. He was laughing.
Oh, yeah, no, it was awkward, and, like, to put the camera on people's faces, bad idea, because that's, of course, what you're going to get. I know some people probably think, hey, just sing the anthem, get it done, get it over with. I always like during the finals when the Warriors will have Carlos Santana come out and just play the guitar. We'll just, like, play the guitar for the anthem. I think that's cool. I'm trying to think at what event it was, but a couple years ago, like in New Orleans, I think someone just played the saxophone for the anthem.
Yeah.
I like that type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm okay with changing it up a bit, but she was just, I mean, it was horrid. It was horrible to hear in the ears.
If you change it up, it better be good. If you change it up, it better be good. That's the big takeaway is if you're going to risk that on a national stage, a song that obviously everyone in the country is familiar with, You cannot risk a rendition and mess it up. I said last night it sounded like Skylar White singing Happy Birthday to Ted Beneke on Breaking Bad when she's trying to seduce him. That's what it sounded like to me.
I don't remember that scene.
It's really cringeworthy. It's when she was ready to seduce him, and you knew what she was about to do with Ted Beneke. And they're in the conference room with the cake, and she tries to all strut up to him all sexy-like, and everyone around's feeling uncomfortable.
Happy birthday,
Mr. President. She sings it as if he's the Marilyn. I guess she was trying to sing it as Marilyn Monroe singing to JFK, I think was the thing. Very cringeworthy. That's how Fergie sounded last night.
I always thought Skylar White was awful. Anyway.
Oh, big time awful. I'm okay with changing it up, though. Go Google the R. Kelly national anthem before a boxing event on HBO. He had it come out there sounding like a club song that you could dance to. He turned it into a dance song for the national anthem. Obviously, though, the worst all-time, Carl Lewis. Best all-time, probably Whitney Houston. Last night, Fergie threw her name in the running for top three worst of all time, probably. 865-546-8200. We'll either start talking about the NBA or Tennessee basketball or more NASCAR. I don't know. You got to stay tuned to hear it. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Tennessee, Georgia. You were worried about it by the time you got to the game on Saturday night just because the SEC had been such a upside-down league on Saturday. Upsets, home teams able to hold off better teams. Oh, did any of the road teams win? I know none of the big road teams win. Did any of the road teams win at all in the SEC on Saturday? I know that Missouri went on the road, lost to LSU.
Alabama lost to Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky was favored in that game, though. Kentucky was the better team. Or not the better team, but I guess we all expected Kentucky to win that game, I guess is what I would say. But South Carolina beat Auburn at home. Arkansas blows out Texas A&M at home. Vanderbilt beats Florida at home. Mississippi State beats Ole Miss at home. So, yeah, no road teams able to win on Saturday.
Yeah, not a single one.
When you look at it from that lens, the loss doesn't hurt as bad. Is that fair to say? Because in every, you know, almost every game, excluding Arkansas beating Texas A&M and Mississippi State beating Ole Miss, the road team was in better position in league play, and they all lost. So, for the most part, nothing at all changes in Tennessee's quest for a number two seed in the SEC tournament. Or for... I guess a quest for a double bye, which I guess is the first goal. Like, hey, let's get a double bye and not have to play until the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt Tennessee. I mean, there's still, I think, a really good chance that they can end up number two in the SEC. They've got a game up on everybody still. As you said, they were lucky that Florida and Alabama and Missouri were all able to lose. The thing that's really kind of worrying me at this point, this team has not played well since February 3rd. I mean, you're looking at about 2 weeks since they've really played well.
We talked about it when it was happening, right, during the big win streak. Like, you know, they blew out a couple of bad teams, but it wasn't like they were playing otherworldly basketball outside of those couple blowouts, right? You beat up on Iowa State, fine. You beat up on Ole Miss and LSU that was shorthanded. Okay, cool. But outside of that, you struggled on the road against South Carolina. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing because, as you just saw, South Carolina able to beat Auburn. Mm-hmm. Auburn had a couple people banged up, but still, South Carolina won that game. I was more so worried about the second half performance against Vanderbilt, right? Where you were up 18 and then you let Riley Lachance single-handedly bring them back and make it a one-point game late in the second half. Like this, it wasn't like this team was all of a sudden playing great basketball consistently. They had three games against inferior opponents that they took care of business, and that should be applauded, and it was, but we started talking one seed, right?
Yeah.
And then now we've really come crashing back down to earth from that.
Yeah, and that's probably a good thing. I mean, it's probably good that we, you know, are looking at this more realistic, you know, because a one seed I don't think was ever really on the table. But to me, it goes a little bit further back than just that second Vanderbilt game. I mean, outside of the start of conference play, you didn't start off very hot, but you had a really nice win over Kentucky, a really nice win over Texas A&M, forgave the loss at Missouri because that's at Missouri. Konzo's got his special, you know, thing, whatever, going to play defense, going to make you get in a slugfest, and he wanted to win. I thought that they had played really well for the most part since then. I mean, to go on at South Carolina and get the road win, and then, the Vandy game wasn't that great, but those three straight blowouts, I thought they were really coming into form there. And then you beat Kentucky and Rupp, as we said.
I think Tennessee's tired. I mean, this four-game stretch that they've went on, and they've lost, you know, two of three, and, you know, they've split each last two-week segment. You know, each week has two games, and this kind of breaks up the season that way. We always kind of look, what do you need to do this week? Oh, sweep. Okay, let's get a split. We wanted a sweep last week, but of the last four, three of those road games, right? At Kentucky, at Alabama that 1 week, back to South Carolina, back to Knoxville for the game against South Carolina, down to Georgia.
Right.
Like, Tennessee to Georgia is not a long drive. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not a long trip, but it's still tiresome. Especially when you throw in a trip to Iowa State in there at the end of January, right?
Yeah.
Which is longer, you know, a longer trip than most people have to make.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to complain because you look and you're 26 games in.
Yeah.
And this was your first bad loss or your first loss to a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
The Alabama loss was bad, but.
Yeah, this is Tennessee's worst loss of the season. Tennessee's worst loss of the season, in my opinion. Georgia playing okay basketball. They beat Florida last week. You saw Florida lose to Vanderbilt, though, so how good is that win? Outside of that, Georgia had lost 6 of their last 8 games. So I can't just say that Georgia was hot and Tennessee ran to the wrong team. Like, Tennessee should have won that game. They were favored in that game.
Is the most concerning thing to you length against this Tennessee team? Like, when you get into the tournament, when you face a team with some size down low that can really bother you?
The absolute most alarming thing for me is a continued trend, Cody. And I talked about it against Alabama. You know, what happens when Grant Williams isn't the best player on the court?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this game, Yonte Maton, better player.
Yeah.
He shows up. He's not efficient from the field in terms of field goal percentage, 5 shots or 5 makes on 14 attempts. But he's able to hit a three-pointer. He's able to get to the free throw line 12 times. He scores 19 points and get Grant Williams in foul trouble. You know, against Alabama, Tennessee really couldn't stop Colin Sexton.
Right.
So that kind of stuff worries me. Like, what happens when Tennessee runs into a hot player in the tournament, right? You know, like every tournament in the first round, when you're going up against these small mid-majors, there's always one stud, right?
Yeah.
There's almost always one guy who's a junior or a senior who averages 25, 26 points a game, and he's put the team on his back. Like, what happens against Tennessee? What happens for Tennessee if they go against that? Can they stop that guy if they're going up against a bona fide stud?
From the Missouri Valley Conference.
From the Missouri Valley Conference. Well, I mean, look at what happened the game against, was it Furman earlier in the year? With the kid from Knoxville?
Yeah.
I mean, who fits this bill, like, of I'm better than anybody on the court right now.
That was a fairly close game.
That game was it tied late? I don't think Furman had the lead late, but I'm pretty sure it was close to tied. It was a one-possession game either way. And
Tennessee won by 5, 66-61.
Yeah. Late in the game, that guy kind of had Furman right there on the doorstep to win late in that game. Did Furman have the lead late?
Yeah, I mean, Furman actually led. At one point, Furman was up 59-57.
How much time was left? 3 minutes
or
so?
3 minutes.
Yeah. Like, that guy single-handedly kept that game close for Furman. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Can Tennessee stop one good player? So far, they haven't been able to. So, like, if you ask me what worries me, it's that.
Furman.
Especially if it's a guard, because Tennessee's guards, quite frankly, are not playing well right now. Lamonte and Bowden are playing better than Daniel and Bone by far, but none of those four guys can check you defensively. So that's what worries me when we look forward to the tournament, because in the SEC tournament, by the time Tennessee plays, if they get a double bye, there's going to be some ballers left, especially if Michael Porter Jr. comes back from Missouri. Throw him in with a Colin Sexton who might be there. Who knows if Kentucky gets right after a win against Alabama. Calipari kept saying it only takes one win for us to get rolling again, get some confidence. Rick Barnes was very critical of Grant Williams after the game. I'll read his comments to you after the break. We'll get your thoughts. It's after every loss, there's something like this. Sometimes it's the team as a whole. Sometimes it's players individually. This time it's Grant Williams. I'll tell you what Rick Barnes said about Grant Williams and get your thoughts, Cody. It's Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. back live in the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tennessee loses to Georgia, unable to gain a game on Auburn, who had lost, and gain a game on basically the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth place teams, who all lost as well. I guess third, fourth, and fifth. Kentucky wins. Mississippi State wins. Arkansas wins. Arkansas now moves to a four-way tie for third place. There are four teams at 8-6 right behind Tennessee, which makes tomorrow, or I guess it's Wednesday's game against Florida, a big game for Tennessee. If you lose that, you could realistically fall back to fifth, sixth. That's a alarming thing, but that's kind of what Tennessee has backed themselves into after losing a game against Georgia, which they probably should have won. Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, and Florida all tied at 8-6. Obviously, Florida plays Tennessee, so if they beat Tennessee, they will move ahead of Tennessee in the standings. After the game, Rick Barnes critical of Grant Williams, who started the game 1-for-1 very quickly and then finished 0-for-7 from the field. 0-for-7 from the field. Unable to get anything going against the Georgia front line, who was bigger than him. Maton, bigger than him, the guy off the bench from Georgia. You know, he was maybe the guy who won the game for him, that Ogbeadi guy.
Oh, yeah.
Ogbeadi, I don't know how to say his name. Who had, you know, 16 points and 11 rebounds in 27 minutes. Both he and Maton got Grant Williams in foul trouble. Grant only able to play 25 minutes and fouls out. 5 points, 1-for-8 from the field, 4 rebounds. Rick Barnes said, a lot of people are talking about Grant Williams back, asking if that, you know, that's a lingering issue. Rick Barnes says, no, he's fine. There's nothing wrong with him. Other than it's that time of the year, and we're going to see if he's the player he wants to be. This is the time of year that key guys step up and they play. There's nothing wrong. He has to stop talking is what he has to do. He has to produce. He has to quit talking about it and do it. If Grant Williams wants to get back to wanting to rebound the ball, it would help him. It would help him more than anything else he could do. If he would just do that and play defense within our scheme, he would be fine. And the Grant Williams rebounding stats are a little troubling. His rebounding has fallen off. Since the Iowa State game where he had 10 and played really well, he's gone 6, 4, 3, 4, 5, 4 for a 4.3 average over the last 6 games. Like, that's an issue. You do need him to rebound a little bit better. His scoring, though, hadn't really been too big of an issue until Saturday, where obviously it reared its head in a big way, and Tennessee had nobody really leading the way. Lamonte Turner, 14 points on 12 shots. If that's your leading scorer, you're going to lose like you did.
Yeah.
You're going to lose like you did. Jordan Bone and Grant Williams combined to go 1-for-13. Tennessee's not going to win that way.
Now, we talked about earlier in the year we viewed it as a, or at least I did, as a positive at times when, you know, maybe Grant Williams wasn't playing all that well. Other guys were stepping up. Tennessee was finding ways to win games without him. There were a few instances where they did that. But, you know, really that's not ideal for this team. Really, you need him to play well.
This is the first game he's had single digits in since Iowa State. That was a blowout. You didn't really need much from Grant Williams. Obviously, when you lose, it looks worse when your best player doesn't score, right? Single-digit games, Iowa State, 23-point win. Texas A&M, a 13-point win. You don't worry about those. High point at the beginning of the season, 8 points, but that's a 30-point win. Like, you don't worry about those outputs when you're winning. But when your best player has 5 points on 1-of-8 shooting and you lose, you start pointing fingers. The rebounding, if Grant Williams isn't attacking the boards with the same ferocity, which the numbers are kind of saying, like he's laxed on that since the beginning of SEC play. Like, that's alarming. I'll give Rick Barnes a pass for saying, hey, Grant, you need to rebound a little bit better. You need to want to rebound better. On the other hand, there is this report of a lingering back issue. And, I mean, if your back's hurting, I would imagine rebounding at the SEC level, especially against guys bigger than you, doesn't seem like the most appealing thing.
Probably makes it kind of hard to play, kind of hard to move around.
I'm gonna save myself for the offensive end, I guess, if that's the case. Especially because I don't have guys helping me with the scoring punch. It's maybe what Grant Williams is thinking, and Rick Barnes is saying, hey, if you're going to give us something, give us defense and rebounding. Rick Barnes throw Grant Williams under the bus?
I mean, I don't think so. It seems to me like one of those motivational coaching type things. You know what I mean? Because he knows Grant Williams is going to hear what he says about him. He's like, maybe it'll inspire him. Seems like a coaching thing to me.
And maybe Grant Williams likes that. Maybe Grant Williams likes that.
Maybe he needs that. I don't know.
It's much like the loss to Alabama where I said, we'll see how Tennessee responds from it and whether or not that's a quote-unquote good loss. Because everyone's like, okay, it's good to get refocused, right?
Yeah.
But instead, you play a poor game against South Carolina.
It's good to lose by 28 and get refocused.
Well, I mean, that's what people looked at and said, you know, it's humbling a little bit. Let's quit chasing that one seed thinking we can roll the ball out and beat people up. Let's get back to focusing on details. I mean, that's the narrative. That was the positive spin that you're looking for. And Tennessee responds this week by escaping against a South Carolina team that's not very good and then losing to a Georgia team that's not very good. So safe to say that Alabama loss, not an eye-opening experience, right? That wasn't a good loss. That was a pretty bad loss. That was maybe a sign of warning that, hey, this team, something's not exactly right with it. This team might not be as good as we thought. Because then you turn around, like I said, and follow it up with a bad week. I'll now say the same for Grant Williams. If Grant Williams comes out and he balls again against Florida and he's grabbing 10 rebounds or 8 rebounds at least, then you'll say, okay, he responded to Rick Barnes calling him out.
Yeah, the great thing about this week is you get that Florida game at home.
Yeah.
The only road trip this week is Ole Miss, and that's, you know, the worst team in the SEC. No Andy Kennedy, Andy Kennedy on his way out.
No, he's out now.
Is he out?
He stepped down officially yesterday, effective immediately.
Okay, so Andy Kennedy.
The interim coach, they lost. I believe they got blown out by Mississippi State.
They did.
And they just said, okay, there's no reason to let you finish out and get your farewell tour. Thank you for your service. So Andy Kennedy now officially gone.
Okay, so he's out the door. You're going to beat that team. If you don't beat that team, you got major problems. But it makes this Florida game that much bigger because you can legitimately go 2-for-2 this week. It's really, really good to get Florida at home. Tennessee has not been good on the road lately.
Yes, it's a gigantic game. You knew it was going to be all year. You thought it would be for different reasons. You thought this would be a chance for a signature win to bolster a resume. Right now, it's Tennessee needing to hold off this pack of teams behind them for that double bye. If you can sweep this week, you'll be really set up in a positive way. You'll be really set up in a positive way to finish the season. If you drop this one to Florida, all of a sudden, a lot of your hard work could be blowing up in your face. Forget trying to get to Atlanta for the Sweet 16. Forget setting up Nashville for the first or second round. You'll be trying to hold off a top six seed. So that you're not having to play a 1 or 2 seed in the second round, you'll be looking at that if you lose this one to Florida. Florida's lost 2 in a row. They lost to Georgia at home. And over the weekend, they lost on Saturday to a Vanderbilt team who somehow keeps getting some big wins, but you look and their record's still, they're like 11-16?
Yeah, they're 5-9 in the SEC.
But it seems like that Vanderbilt team plays pretty good at home, at least recently maybe. It seems like Vanderbilt's played better at home. And like I said, they don't have a good record at all. They're 11-16, but they've won 2 in a row. They've won 3 of their last 4. They have, you know, won their last 3 home games, last 4 home games, last five home games. So, yeah, they've won their last five home games. If you're playing Vanderbilt in Nashville, you're gonna be in for a fight.
Was their last home loss to Tennessee?
No, it was to Kentucky.
Ah, okay.
They lost to Tennessee on, I guess, a Tuesday or Wednesday night, then lost to Kentucky that Saturday. And
they should have won that game.
Since then, they've beaten LSU, TCU, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Florida at home. So not a bad little group of wins, but Florida blew a game. Riley Lachance got hot again. Florida fans upset with Michael White. Kind of saying, okay, the jig might be up on this guy. Maybe he just went to the Elite Eight with Billy Donovan's players, and now that we're in, what, year three of Michael White, things aren't as good. Is it year three of Michael White, or is it year two of Michael White?
Was he hired the same year as Tindall?
He was hired the same year as Barnes.
So that would have been
He turned Tennessee down to stay one more year at Louisiana Tech because he had a group of seniors. And
14, 15.
I think he's in his third year, same as Barnes.
Yeah, that would be accurate. Because I remember I wanted Tennessee to hire him over Tindall.
Well, I mean, everyone wanted to hire him over Tindall. We offered him over Tindall. Dave Hart tried to offer him, and we couldn't pull Louisiana Tech's coach. We couldn't pull Louisiana Tech's coach because he had a group of seniors coming back, and he thought he was going to be good the next year. And he probably looked around and said, yeah, this isn't the right time to come to a depleted roster. And to his credit, he was able to go to Florida and have a little bit more in the cupboard. Went 21-15 his first year. Of course, went 27-9 and made the Elite Eight his second year, which was last year. And this year, people are upset. This team was ranked number five at one point this season. Now they find themselves, I don't want to say on the bubble yet, but they're out of the top 50 in the RPI. Like when you start looking at like the RPI, Florida struggling outside the top 50.
They could get a huge road win against Tennessee.
Yeah, this game probably means more to Florida, or means just as much to Florida. They're 59th in RPI. That's not safe by any means, like when it comes to at-large teams. Yeah, I'll say this game's bigger for Florida than it is Tennessee, because Tennessee should already have their ticket punched to the dance. Basically, even if they lose their next four, Tennessee will be in position to win one in the SEC tournament and comfortably be in. Florida, on the other hand, losers of two in a row, down to 59 RPI. This is their chance to go on the road and get a big win.
Yeah.
Wednesday night's a big game for Tennessee and Florida. 865-546-8200. Let's catch a break. Come back on the other side as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. As we return to the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, where we broadcast every day. Cody, tell us more about Mountain View Chevy.
Well, John, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy.
First things first. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah. Need to be sure that we are aware of that. It is indeed not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy.
That's right.
The number one Chevy dealer in East Tennessee, and they are big Vol fans. Also home of the low price promise. You know what that is?
I know what it is. The audience might not. They might be listening to this show for the first time ever.
Well, in that case,
how do you think people feel if they're listening to this show for the first time ever?
They're probably, well, today they probably think it's a pretty normal show. We haven't really gone off the rails on anything today.
Well, okay. Do you think they think we're smart? Do you think they think we're entertaining? You ever wonder that? I always wonder, like, each segment, what if this is the first time somebody's listening to this show? What if they've just stumbled into this?
That is an interesting thought.
I mean, sometimes I feel like we think that our listeners are the people who listen every day. Shout out to them. Love them more than the new listeners. Yeah. Love those guys a lot. If you listen every day, you are my favorite.
Yeah, if you're a new listener, we'll never love you as much as the people who listen every day.
But we'll still love you. And a year from now, we'll love you a lot more than the other people.
If you become a permanent listener.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I might have gained us a listener over the weekend. Let me finish this live read. The low price promise, John, Mountain View Chevy will meet or beat any advertised price.
Sounds like Cody met a woman over the weekend.
Or they will give you the car for free.
Hey, babe, you want to listen to me on the radio?
They'll just give it to you.
Hey, I'm on Fox Sports Knoxville.
One of the largest truck selections in Tennessee, the Silverado Truck Champion.
I'm only 25.
I do not sound like I'm a 50-year-old
man. I've heard that many times.
What?
Cody McClure. Who's that 50-year-old man you have doing the show with you?
I get so many.
You got a great voice. I was thinking over the weekend, speaking of Mountain View Chevy, I was thinking, you know, we've been sitting back there making sales calls, partnering up. And I'm like, seems like Cody gets instant people liking him on the phone easier than me. And I'm thinking it's probably because they realize that they're talking to a 50-year-old man. They're like, this guy's a professional. He knows what he's talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm a professional.
They can hear that I'm still a little young, and they're like, oh, I don't know. But with Big Cody, they're like, oh, this is a grown man. I feel very comfortable talking to him.
I've never understood the remarks about my voice. To me, it doesn't sound, it just, I don't know. I don't even like it. The Silverado Truck Champion, with Silverados discounted up to $14,000 off. Mountain View Chevy is located at 310 East 20th Street, right off I-24 in downtown Chattanooga. Check out mtnviewchevy.com. Search the inventory, compare prices, and remember, John, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. Downtown Chattanooga and online, mtnviewchevy.com.
You want to tell us about your new listener now? Who'd you meet? Where'd you meet her? Where'd you meet her?
At a bar.
Okay. How'd it go?
Well, I think we might have a new listener. I don't know.
Now you're getting shy because he's listening, huh?
No, she's a lesbian. That's why.
Okay.
Just a friend I made.
My bad. I misread the situation.
Yeah, you thought
it was a girl.
No, it is a girl. Yeah, she's a lesbian, though. So, I think she's listening today, though.
Well, shout out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's probably turn it off now.
Well, I didn't say her name.
Okay, let's just move on.
Yeah.
865-546-8200. That one's on me. That one's on me.
Try to rope me into talking about who
this
lesbian.
That one's on me. My bad. That one's on me. Looking around the rest of the college basketball weekend, Michigan State, probably a big winner. Now, let's stay in the SEC first. Let's stay in the SEC first because Auburn. I do think Auburn dodged a bullet by Tennessee losing to Georgia, but Auburn has one of their best shot blocker, has one of their only guys who are above like 6'7". I think they had three guys over 6'7", and they lose one of them.
Yeah.
So they lose some size. They lose their best shot blocker.
It was ugly, too.
Anthony McLemore. Dislocating his leg, somewhere between Gordon Hayward and Kevin Ware.
It was nasty.
I never watched it.
It was nasty. I watched it like 40 times. It wasn't as bad as Hayward or Kevin Ware, but, well, to me, Kevin Ware's the worst. The worst that I've ever seen. I think he was worse than Hayward. Because he had the bone sticking out, you know, it just pop, and there goes the bone. You got a shin bone just sitting out there. This wasn't that bad, but you could see the ankle visibly turn. It was kind of gruesome.
Out for the year.
Yeah. Like when he came down, just picture this. Picture the ankle just snapping against the hardwood. And the shoe curve like turns in rapid real quickly.
Okay.
Just pop. There goes the ankle.
Pop. Yeah, so he's out for the year. He's out for the year. Yeah. Bryce Brown, Auburn's best player. Banged up with a shoulder. He goes 3 for 16 in that game. I think 2 for 13 from the three-point line. So Auburn struggling a little bit right now. Tennessee really, I think, could have passed them. Not only got the share of the SEC title, I think they could have gotten a game ahead of them and won the SEC because, like I said, Auburn, the leading shot blocker is now gone. Their best player is banged up. Tennessee dropped the ball in that regard. With four games remaining, two games up plus the tiebreaker, it's almost impossible for Tennessee to quote unquote win the SEC. They'll be able to claim a share if they tie. We'll know the truth. but we'll be able to claim a share.
Basically, you got to win out and have Auburn lose their next three games.
Yeah.
Which is not likely, but that is the most disappointing thing to me about Saturday is that I really thought Tennessee, if they could have gotten that win, I mean, when you just look at the remainder for Auburn, they got to play Alabama, who they've already lost to. They got to play South Carolina again, who they just lost to. And those are home games. Their other two are road games at Florida and Arkansas. So, like, it wasn't crazy at all to think Auburn could lose one more, maybe two.
Yeah.
But I doubt they're going to lose three.
No, like, that door gets shut. But Auburn is kind of floundering right now. The rest of the SEC kind of cannibalizing itself over the weekend. When you look now, Ole Miss in last. Shout out to Vanderbilt for moving out of last, I guess. Auburn 11-3 in the conference, two games up over Tennessee, who's 9-5. And then, like I said, the four-way tie of Arkansas, Missouri, Alabama, and Florida. Florida versus Tennessee is a huge game, man. Mississippi State and Kentucky able to get back sort of in that race for, you know, even second. Definitely back in the race for a double bye.
You know, Rick Barnes still hasn't beaten Georgia.
We haven't beaten Georgia since 2011.
0-5.
Yeah, we haven't beaten Georgia since 2011.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Like, Tennessee's lost five in a row to Georgia. Tennessee can't beat Georgia. Maybe that's – we haven't won in Georgia since 2011.
Okay.
Maybe that's it.
I was like, surely Konzo beat them.
Yeah, yeah. We just haven't beaten Georgia in five straight times.
Hmm.
Five straight losses to a Georgia team that's been, you know, perpetually mediocre. It's not like they've been juggernauts. We just can't beat a bad Georgia team or a mediocre Georgia team.
They are our kryptonite.
This week in the SEC, Kentucky on Tuesday goes to Arkansas, and all of a sudden, a big game. Like I said, Arkansas 8-6, Kentucky 7-7. Winner of that game, you know, is set up pretty nicely to have a chance to finish with the double bye. Mississippi State at Texas A&M, Vanderbilt at LSU, Mississippi at Missouri. Should be a Missouri win, a good schedule break for them. And then on Wednesday, Georgia at South Carolina, Alabama at Auburn. That'll be a big game, Alabama at Auburn. Alabama right there at 8-6. Auburn, obviously, at 11-3. And then Florida and Tennessee. So you do have the chance. You could have tied Auburn. You could have tied Auburn on Wednesday if you'd have beaten Georgia, because I do think that Alabama will give Auburn every bit of game that they want. Alabama beat Auburn at home without Colin Sexton earlier this year. Like, I do think that's going to be a game that's going to be close. I could see Alabama winning that game.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if Tennessee wins out, I think they could still tie Auburn. I mean, if you tell me Auburn's going to beat both Florida and Arkansas on the road, I would say I doubt it. I think they'll probably drop one of them. Still a chance I think Tennessee can tie Auburn. I don't think there's any chance you can surpass Auburn, though.
Got a couple tweets. When Cody first started the show, I definitely thought he was at least in his mid-40s. I thought Nate put an old man in there to keep JR under control at first. Little do they know that you are more of a degenerate than me.
That's why we're such a good pair.
A look at your audition reel of an old movie. I don't necessarily know what that is, but.
Bob Goulet's Old Fashioned Cajun Christmas.
Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll kick off hour two next.